This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, folks. Hope you are having a great Friday, October 25th. This month just flew by, and today is the start of the Swiftie invasion, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I could tell you a lot of folks I talked to were downtown yesterday. They said it was crazy, and I know the merchandising thing is off the rails. They ran out of bracelets yesterday. How do I know? The wife was down there with the granddaughter. And no bracelets, but it's okay because they will have more today. That whole setup, from what I understand, has really gone well, which is good to hear for the city that we're starting out at a good place for the Taylor Swift concert. Tonight's the first night, so the momentum is building. If you want to have a great time, go down to the Quarter today because it's the Friday before Halloween as well. And you'll find almost every restaurant booked to the rafters, can't fit another person in there edgewise. And you're going to see a lot of people that are costumed. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger every year. New Orleans is all into Halloween again, and it's great to see. And we've got a great show for you today. So we know that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we do this every year, usually a little earlier in the month. We've had a lot of scheduling issues on our part, but we are very fortunate to have Dr. John Colfrey back. He's a breast surgical oncologist at LCMC Health, as well as Dr. Ellen Zacharias. She's a radiation oncologist with LCMC Health, and they have joined me. I think I'm going on at least five, if not 6 years. During October, 2.3 million women, I think, is the number, if my memory serves me correct, that will be diagnosed with breast cancer around the world every year. It's a very serious thing. There are a lot of improvements going on in detection, and we'll talk about that. And we want to hear from you. If you have a question for either Dr. Colfrey or Dr. Zacharias, give us a call. Send us a text at 504-260-1870. At 11:30, we're going to have Jason Bolko on, Director of Special Operations at the St. Francis Animal Sanctuary. They will be talking about their upcoming event featuring dogs that were rescued from Hurricane Helene as well as Hurricane Milton. And they'll focus on a few of their current projects and then how you can support St. Francis and donations and hopefully think about adopting an animal as well. Lacey Osborne joins us from the St. Tammany Economic Chamber of Commerce. St. Tammany Chamber of Commerce. She's the CEO and president there, and we'll be talking about all good things going on the North Shore, and she'll have a lot of information for you as well. And we do that once a month, and we're very excited about featuring what's happening in St. Tammany. Joining us now is Rafael Goyeneche. I was on location in Lafayette, by the way, Primary Care Plus. Had a great time out there. Want to thank all the folks and elected officials down there in Lafayette. Very receptive. I know them to be nice people. They were great people. We had a great time. It was a great turnout and great event for them and a beautiful facility there in Lafayette. So he was kind enough to move to today, and we appreciate that. Rafi, welcome to the show.
Hey, my pleasure, Neil.
So, Rafi, let's start off talking about this promotional policy at NOPD. It's amazing to me, but this has been a problem for the NOPD for decades. I mean, I think this goes back to the 70s, if my memory serves me correct. And I, for the life of me, can't figure out how the vast majority of departments around this country can figure out how to do this, whether they're civil service or not civil service, or there's collective bargaining or not collective bargaining, union representation or not. They seem to get it, but we just can't seem to hit the mark when it comes to promotions. Tell us about it.
Well, this is, I don't consider this to be a problem created by the police department. The problem that we're going to be talking about is a political problem. And then, again, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but, this is a problem created by the mayor of the city of New Orleans, once again. So to bring your audience up to speed, it's been 34 years since the NOPD has named a new major. And the police department decided to conduct a major's test. So this will be the first time since 1990 that a major would have been made by the New Orleans Police Department. So they hired an out-of-state firm to develop a new test for captains and majors. They spent over $103,000 for this test. The test was administered, and the test to determine how to rank the applicants is basically two parts to it. The first part is the test that was administered by civil service that was created by this out-of-state firm. And the second part of it, after the test is taken, the police department assembles information and reviews information involving the test takers, the applicants for major. That includes their PIB or internal affairs disciplinary record, their annual evaluations for the last several years, and their job history, where they've worked, how long they've worked there, and what their experience is in different parts of the department. Those part two components are all given a 33 1/3% weight in that. So then the combined scores of part one and part two are, determined, and then the candidates are ranked. So keep in mind, the decision to go forward with this test had to be approved by the mayor and the city of New Orleans. And they spent $103,000 to do this test. And the part two that I described to you, which is, a 50% weight in determining the ranking of the applicants, that process was created in 2021 by the Cantrell administration. And the results of the test were disseminated, and the candidates were ranked 1 through 11. And then 2 days after that list came out, my phone started to blow up with officers calling me, complaining that the promotion process for majors had been paused or halted by the mayor. So I did my due diligence, talked to several people, and was able to confirm from multiple people in the police department that the mayor did in fact object to the list, indicated that there was allegedly some potential bias in the rating process that was part two. That's why the city rescinded the policy that it created. Now keep in mind that We've been under the consent decree for 11 years. This promotion process, including the new internal rule confected by the Cantrell administration in 2021, was all reviewed by the federal monitors and was considered to be in compliance with consent decree bias-free promotions. So all of a sudden, you know, this list comes out, and then 2 days later, the city rescinds its policy with respect to the Part 2 component where the New Orleans Police Department combines the scores of people's public integrity records, annual evaluations, and job histories. That is somehow biased or tainted. Now, there's also another list of sergeants and lieutenants that are still using that rescinded city rule to determine their rankings for promotion. So if there is bias in the city's regulation, in which the public integrity records, their officers' annual evaluations and job histories, if that is biased for captains and majors, how is it not biased for sergeants and lieutenants? Yet the city is continuing to promote people from the sergeants and lieutenants list, but not from the captain and majors list. So that suggests to me and to others that there wasn't a problem with the process. There was a problem perceived by the mayor with the results. And the mayor didn't like who were the top-rated candidates on this list. The two top-rated candidates for by the ranking and scoring for the majors positions were two captains that both worked in public integrity. One of them was in charge of the first VAPI investigation, and the other one was in charge of investigations 2 and 3 before the police department recused itself in the case. So it appears to me that there wasn't a problem with bias or prejudice with the way that the applicants were rated for this test. The problem was the mayor didn't like the results. So she wanted the process halted. The superintendent is and has been reviewing that process that she inherited that was deemed perfectly fine when she arrived, had been confected by this administration and put forward by this administration and adopted and approved by the federal monitors since 2021. So now Ann Kirkpatrick is attempting to see if she can somehow remediate the mayor's concerns about bias with respect to part two of the promotional list for captains that want to be majors. And there was a public hearing by the federal monitor on Tuesday of this week. I posed the question to the federal monitor during this public hearing that the crime commission had received complaints that the mayor had interceded in this matter, ordering the process halted. And he commented that he had heard the same thing. And he also went on to say that the federal monitors are going to be conducting an investigation to determine why the process was halted and determine if there was, in fact, any bias. So now you've got the federal monitors. And one of the areas that the federal monitor was talking about at this hearing, everyone knows the police department is on the verge of being placed into substantial compliance. One of the areas that needs to be documented is bias-free promotions. And now on the, you know, on the eve, really, of the judge trying to decide if the department is in substantial compliance with the consent decree, we have this issue pop up, which is, again, you know, another misstep by Mayor Cantrell, and it may jeopardize and compromise the police department's ability to move into the second and final phase of the consent decree. So since the issue blew up earlier this week, the police organizations, I believe Pano, filed a complaint with civil service requesting that an investigation be conducted to determine why the process has been halted. So this is a long way from being over. As I said, I think the superintendent and the police department is quietly working behind the scenes to see if they can convince the mayor that they have a path forward to remove any potential concerns that she or anyone else may have about the bias with respect to the rankings of the people that have applied to be major. But again, you know, too often these types of situations in the past, they were the fault of the police department. This the department has no fault in this matter. This is strictly the mayor sticking her nose into the police department's business. And overruling and rescinding her rule that she enacted in 2021, and it is create some real morale issues in the police department. It's on the radar screen now of the Federal Monitor, which means that it's going to be on the radar screen of Judge Morgan when she's deciding whether to place the police department into the substantial compliance. And if the mayor refuses to allow this to go forward, the candidates will probably, some of the candidates will file suit against the mayor, which means that she will be subpoenaed and have to give her testimony as to why she believed that this process was biased and why she killed the list. So this is another black eye. I hope that the superintendent is successful in convincing the mayor to move forward with the remediation that she's working on. If not, there are going to be consequences for it. And unfortunately, the people that will pay the price are the men and women of the police department and the taxpayers of the city of New Orleans.
But the chief, accomplishing convincing the mayor to do it, that's really not the resolution to the problem at hand, right? I mean, the reality is, I'm always kind of tickled by when we know that NOPD is in this phase of the consent decree. What is it called now? My mind just went blank.
Sustainment.
Sustainment, I mean, right?
Yeah, and that's what they're trying to get it placed into, the sustainment phase.
Right, sustainment phase, correct. And obviously that phase is probably the most difficult phase of the consent decree because they're left to their own devices in many respects, right?
Right.
And we refer to this as bias-free promotions. Well, there really is no such animal. I mean, the moment in time that you let subjective data into the consideration, which is needs to be done, because you want to look at the employment history, you want to look at performance appraisals that are done, and a lot of those have a subjective element about them, right? Mm-hmm. You knew that when you set up the process. There is no perfect process. It is combined of objective data as well as subjective data, and you have to deal with it. But the way that this gets cured is to amend the city charter, have an election, and say the mayor can't intervene in police promotions or fire department promotions at all. The mayor gets to name two people, the chief of police and the head of the fire department. End of the story. And all other promotions, she has no authority. She shouldn't even get the list. She ought to get the announcement of who's been promoted. And then it goes away. And we're going to see whether or not this city council and has the moxie to do this. And we ought to put it on in the fall election, amend the city charter, and say, this is one way we can assure that we will make it through the sustainment phase as long as this mayor is around, because she's exhibited weakness, a lack of intellect, a lack of a moral compass in understanding her role. So let's just eliminate her. Let's eliminate her capacity and capability of being able to muck up a system that has been set. I mean, that's the real irony here. She sets up the system and then she mucks it up because it doesn't work to her benefit. Let's just take the authority away from her. And then we don't have to talk about the mayor anymore, whether it's this mayor, the next mayor, or the mayor after that. And, you know, the reality is you place trust in the system and you don't have to worry about what somebody's own personal feeling or, guess what, personal bias. Want to talk about bias? I mean, the only one exhibiting bias right now is her. It's the joke. All right, we're visiting with Raphael Goinecci, President, Metropolitan Crime Commission. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I will remind folks that just recently a number of officers, on behalf of the mayor, it looks like, compromised the federal NCIC database in violation of the rules, and there are attestations that you make to that database and the management of that database that you will not share this type of information nor use this information for personal reasons. And we know that in the lawsuit that was being prosecuted by the mayor as it relates to a citizen of New Orleans stalking or allegedly stalking her, that this is what happened. That's number one. Number two, now we're with the promotions. We're in the sustainment phase, and Rafi, not looking real good, but through no fault of the NOPD, as you pointed out.
No. I mean, so, you know, you hit on two issues. And most of the problems, keep in mind that before Ann Kirkpatrick came in here, the first VAPI investigation had been completed. The federal monitor had conducted a review of that investigation and presented their findings to the court. Before Ann Kirkpatrick came here, there was a hearing conducted by Judge Morgan in that case. The city put on evidence as to why they should not be held in contempt with respect to the noncompliance with the provisions of the consent decree as to how that investigation was handled, because it was very, very obvious that that investigation was handled differently than other investigations because it involved the mayor and Officer Vappi. And PIB was criticized for the way that they conducted that investigation. The person that was heading PIB at the time was the person that was ranked the highest on the majors test, or the second highest, I believe, on the majors test. So the mayor, again, interceded in that case. She refused to cooperate with PIB, and matters involving the investigation were not properly conducted by the police department. What we're going to find out at some point in time is, and we know this from the Vappi case, because when Vappi was indicted by the feds, the indictment asserts that Michelle Woodfork, who was the interim superintendent at the time and was seeking and desiring to be named the permanent superintendent, was called to the mayor's office and advised by the mayor that she was not going to be the mayor's nomination to be the next superintendent. And present in that room with Michelle Woodfork and the mayor was Officer Jeffrey Vappi. Jeffrey Vappi was present when the mayor told Michelle Woodfork that she wasn't going to be nominated to be the next superintendent. That was retaliation. And now, with respect to the majors list that we see, you have the top two ranked applicants are both PIB captains. And I believe this appears to be another example of retaliation. The mayor has no problem with the process. The mayor has a problem with the results. And the results of the process that she created in 2021 and approved and was approved by the federal monitors, and they've been making promotions from, since 2021 with no problems. You know, those two individuals, I believe, are being retaliated against by the mayor. And the federal monitor is going to be issuing a report. And unless Ann Kirkpatrick can convince the mayor to, you know, take this in a different direction, you know, I think that, you know, you proposed a solution, but that's not going to happen in time to create the problems that everyone is concerned about with respect to the consent decree. Council's not going to be able to pass that legislation, you know, in time to avert this derailment. And ultimately,
well, I would disagree. I mean, we could do that right now. This is not going away, right? And the mayor's got another 2 years in her term. And, yeah, you know, we can resolve this issue in a relatively short fashion by putting it on the ballot and amending the city charter and just saying that she doesn't have the authority any longer. We can certainly do it by the next time that, you know, it took 34 years to get to a test for major. You know, who knows when the next attempt is gonna be there, right? But it's like everything else that goes on with this organization. Nothing happens relatively easy. I mean, this is all right. low-hanging fruit stuff. This is not rocket science. This happens right. every day in departments across the country, if not the world. And we just don't have as much controversy as we have here for whatever reason.
Well, again, you know, this is solely on the mayor. This is, you know, a problem that was, you know, of the mayor's making. And now we have to hope that Ann Kirkpatrick can convince the mayor to allow the remediative measures that she is proposing to move forward with this promotions list. Otherwise, there are going to be consequences. And, you know, the people that will suffer the brunt of those consequences are going to be the police department, going to be the taxpayers. But I think there'll also be consequences for the mayor as well, because this will certainly generate litigation. It's a good chance she'll be called as a witness in the federal hearing that will be conducted if this goes that far. And, you know, she may have difficulty in explaining what she did and why she did it. So she better think this through before she turns down the new suggestions for moving forward that will be presented to her by the police department and Ann Kirkpatrick.
Well, I want to see the justification, you know, in writing, not this this mystery, right? Because what would be interesting is whether or not the council can put forward a resolution to issue a reservation of rights letter to the mayor, that they reserve their rights to not provide coverage for her, that she's out there on her own, and that this was an intentional act to retaliate. Because I'd love to see, because unless and until they start making this mayor personally responsible, not unlike the other case that you've brought up many times, right now the city's footing the bill, and they should not be. That was something she did in her personal capacity. And I would love to see whether or not she's written one check, spent one dime of her own money. We're letting this lady get away with highway robbery. She's stealing from the public. And we're watching this unfold, and we're letting her get away with it. These are intentional acts that she's doing because she wants to send a message to whomever or whatever. This is not, you know, a ministerial act of her being the mayor. And we ought to demand the justification as it relates to whatever bias she suspects that is present. Bring the evidence on. But not just sit back and be willing to let her pontificate with whatever she decides to say by putting out some fancy words out there, and we just accept it and move on.
So if the mayor feels strongly enough about this to tell the superintendent her concerns about bias with respect to this promotions, I think that the mayor owes the public that explanation now. We shouldn't be getting this information. You know, earlier this week, a day or so ago, the superintendent, in fact, did acknowledge, you know, that the mayor expressed some concerns to her and the promotions list had been paused based on the mayor's concerns in this.
And those should be outlined in a document. If she's got these types of concerns, because the downstream implications are huge. These are people's lives, careers, dedicated service and everything else, and we just poo-poo on them on a whim? Just because the mayor wants to throw some words out of that silly little mouth of hers and the whole process stops, it should not work that way. We're not taking this serious. I mean, these are the things that you see in a third world country is what's going on right here. This is what you see. You know, these vestiges of an anarchy where, I just think there's some bias, Chief, and so I'm going to freeze this. I mean, I would have loved to have said, Mayor, why don't define bias for me? That would have probably been an interesting word salad. We'll be right back, folks. Sorry. Just one step forward, three steps back. We just never seem to create momentum month to month for 30 days where we can pound our chest and be really excited about where we're headed without having the mayor interjecting idiocracy each and every day of her alleged leadership relative to the city. We'll be right back. We're visiting with Raphael Goinecci, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. Stay with us. We're back. We're visiting with Raphael Goinecci, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. Raffi, if you don't mind, let's pivot to another topic because that one's got my blood pressure boiling.
I apologize for that.
You can't make this stuff up. Linnell Reynolds, this is that escapee who received 5 years after nearly completing juvenile life for shooting and paralyzing a victim. Tell us about this case.
Okay, so we've talked about this case before, and it's been covered extensively in the media. So in 2019, Linnell Reynolds, as a 13-year-old, committed an armed robbery. During the course of that robbery, he shot Darrell Scott. And Mr. Scott is now paralyzed from the waist down. And Reynolds pled guilty, was sentenced to juvenile life. And the victims in this case, the victim and his grandmother, agreed to allow him to be incarcerated in Bridge City so he could be closer to his family. He promptly escaped from Bridge City. And then he was put in another facility. After a couple of years, he was put in a step-down facility, and he walked away from that and escaped. So fast forward to last September, there was a hearing conducted in juvenile court in which Scott was being promoted to a step-down facility in Calcasieu Parish. The Office of Juvenile Justice came to court and said that they believed that he was ready for this step-down facility, despite the fact that he had been escaped from two prior facilities, despite the fact that he had a number of disciplinary matters as a juvenile in various facilities. And despite the objections of the victim and the victim's family, and over the objections of the New Orleans District Attorney's Office, the judge nonetheless agreed with OJJ and allowed him to be transferred to Calcasieu. And he promptly walked away from that step-down facility. And he was aided by a school teacher that drove him from Lake Charles to San Antonio, Texas. The marshals found him after 3 weeks. And now he is serving the rest of his juvenile life sentence, and he was charged as an adult in Lake Charles for escape. And his school teacher was charged by the New Orleans District Attorney's Office and the Lake Charles District Attorney's Office. Found out this morning that the New Orleans District Attorney's Office is going to dismiss its case against the school teacher, that aided him in his escape, and going to allow the Lake Charles District Attorney's Office to move forward with the prosecution, because Reynolds received a 5-year consecutive sentence, so he'll finish his juvenile life, which is age 21. He's age 19 right now, and then he'll start his 5-year sentence for escape. And now the district attorney's office in New Orleans is agreeing that the Lake Charles district attorney's office should move forward with the prosecution of the school teacher that aided and abetted him in escaping from that Lake Charles facility. So we'll keep an eye on what happens with her case, but this is yet another example of how the system has failed not just the public, but also the offenders. This 19-year-old Linnell Reynolds was a poor risk, and that would have been proven by his two prior escapes. To put him in a step-down facility and for the state to advocate for him to step into that, and the judge to agree with it over the objections of the prosecution and the victims, and ignoring his escape histories. This is just another example of how the system is broken and doesn't work.
And, of course, we feel much better about our educational system knowing that a teacher lacks the judgment necessary to decide that he or she is it's a good decision to go help somebody escape and hide them in the state of Texas. I don't know about you, but I feel a lot better about the educational system, that this is the judgment that is being exercised by our teachers.
I think that the penalties that Lionel Reynolds got is a good indication that maybe the Lake Charles criminal justice system may not be as forgiving as maybe some components of the New Orleans system is.
Well, let's hope not. Let's hope that the message is sent that this is not a good idea, and you may want to think twice as a teacher before you start helping your former students escape from custody. Just a wild guess, but that's just me.
Yeah.
And let's finish up with a reminder that you will have your MCC's annual awards launching on Thursday, November 7th at the Sheraton New Orleans Hotel. And Governor Jeff Landry, Jefferson Parish Sheriff Joe LaPinto, Orleans DA Jason Williams, and FBI New Orleans Special Agent in Charge Lionel Myrtle will be the keynote speakers for that event. And we will be broadcasting live from that event as well. Looking forward to that. So let's not forget that. Rafi, as always, we appreciate the accommodation. We know you're busy and working around our schedule. So thank you very much and have a great weekend. Hey, I got to ask you a Swifty fan? Yeah. Are you going to the concert?
No, I didn't get a ticket, unfortunately. I'll be watching the LSU game this weekend.
There you go.
And the Saints. There you go.
Yeah. Rafi Goyeneche, thank you so much. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.